Well, one other thing that Chile is known for are earthquakes. I don't know if you've ever been in one. Has anyone ever been in an earthquake? Really? How big an earthquake was that? Well, you see, we seem to compete with Japan for who has the most frequent and strongest earthquakes. We're fighting for first place, really. So we get about, I don't know, over 100 a year, something like that. But they're usually the soft ones that you can barely notice. But every 10 years or so, we get a real, real earthquake. Those that can knock down buildings, destroy highways, etc. 4 years ago, we had one of those. 8.8 in the Richter scale. That's nearly as bad as it can get. When it gets to 7, it's like being on a boat out in the open sea. You can't stand up on your own. That's how bad they get. This was an 8.8. And when you are in the middle of one, let me tell you, everything moves around and shakes and rattles and breaks and nothing stays the same. Everything changes. Even the ground under your feet is moving, and that is scary. Nothing changes. Nothing stays the same. Everything moves and changes. And lakes appear or disappear, mountains go up or down, even the landscape changes. I think our coast was raised in about 10 centimeters in the last earthquake. That's how bad it was. Because, you know, the two tectonic plates collide and there's an enormous release of energy. That's how it goes. But those earthquakes, as scary as they are, they're nothing compared to what happened when Jesus walked on earth. When Jesus entered history, when he broke into our humanity and our history, that was a far bigger earthquake. I mean, nothing stays the same. It was a cosmic earthquake. Nothing stayed the same. Everything changed. Everything moved. Everything turned upside down, let me tell you. Because two kingdoms clashed. The old kingdom, the old way of doing things, the natural way of doing things, and the new kingdom that Jesus was bringing in. So I think it's funny when I hear people calling us Christians conservatives. There's nothing conservative about Christians. If you read the gospel carefully, you will see there is nothing conservative about the gospel. It is incredibly revolutionary, incredibly radical. So don't let them call you conservative. And if you are being called conservative, well, maybe you're not living like a true follower of Jesus, because the kingdom of Jesus is completely revolutionary. And in these verses that we read, we find a quick but a profound description of what is this new kingdom that Jesus is bringing, what it looks like, what it means to be a citizen of his new kingdom. Look at verses 20 onwards. It says, looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." So you see, who are the winners in Jesus' kingdom? The winners are those who are poor. The winners are those who hunger, those who weep, those who are rejected and persecuted. That's completely upside down. There's nothing conservative about that. That's completely upside down. And here is the old kingdom, the conservative kingdom that Jesus comes to get rid of. Verses 24 onward. "But woe to you who are rich,
for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Well, hang on, those are supposed to be the winners, the people who are rich and who are, you know, well fed and who laugh and have a good time and everyone speaks well of them. They're supposed to be the winners. Yes, in the old kingdom. That is the conservative kingdom. That's the kingdom Jesus gets rid of. Not in the new kingdom, not in the upside down kingdom. The old kingdom. It's all about power. Yes, because when it says rich there, it talks about riches. It's not merely money. It's all that comes with it. At the end of the day, it's all about power. The old kingdom is all about pleasure and comfort. Those who are well fed now, who can satisfy their immediate needs right now, have what they want. It's all about pleasure. The old kingdom, it's about success. Those who laugh now. And interestingly, the word laugh here, it's not simply I'm laughing at a good joke, I'm having a good time, I just feel happy about life. No, it's more like gloating. It's that kind of laughter. When you are enjoying your success because you beat your opponent, you won the match, you won the election, you got your promotion, you're at the pub celebrating with friends. It's that kind of laugh, gloating. It's all about success at the end of the day. And it's all about popularity. All about popularity. When everyone speaks well of you. Well, isn't that nice? And who wouldn't want power, pleasure, success, popularity? Who wouldn't want those things? It feels natural to want those things. And everyone else around us promotes those things and go after those things. That's the world, the way the world works. But remember, Jesus came to get rid of all that. That's why it felt like an earthquake. And even bigger, Jesus came to get rid of that. He brings a new kingdom into the world and into our lives. A completely upside down kingdom. But we have to admit it. These things, power, pleasure, success, popularity, they look so attractive, don't they? Oh, they have such a strong pull on our hearts. Who wouldn't want those things? It feels natural to want those things. Yes, but remember, in this occasion, natural does not mean good. Natural may mean good when you're buying food, but not when it comes to the Bible and the human heart. Natural does not mean good. Natural does not mean right. So Jesus' kingdom is supernatural. It's not only upside down. It's supernatural. It goes beyond the natural. It goes against the natural. As I said, we must not ignore how tempting this old kingdom is. How tempting the conservative kingdom is. How tempting it is to live like everyone else. But remember, that kingdom is past. That kingdom Jesus got rid of. And the paradox or tragedy is that at the end of the day, no one in the old kingdom, in the conservative kingdom, can really have power. No one can really have pleasure. No one can really have success. No one can really have popularity. Oh, you may have it for a while, yes, but it never lasts. It's always temporary. It never lasts. You may have it for a while, but it will go away. You can't hold on to it forever. You can't keep it forever. Remember that. Remember that when those things look so attractive and you think, oh, well, can I follow that kingdom for a little while? And then I'll get back to Jesus' kingdom on Sunday. Can I? Now remember, it's deceiving. It never delivers. You may have it, but it's only for a little while. So at the end of the day, being in Jesus' kingdom is not about becoming poor or becoming hungry or starting to weep or become rejected. It's about acknowledging that you are those things at the end of the day. And that's the miracle that takes place in our lives when we move from one kingdom to another, because our eyes are open by God's word and his spirit, and you realize, oh, I thought I had power, I thought I had pleasure and success and popularity, but I really don't. Or I thought that going after those things was going to make me happy, but in reality, they don't. Remember, the old kingdom never delivers. So the real blessing is having your eyes opened to the truth. Now, the truth without Jesus can be devastating. You say, oh, well, there's nothing to this world. What then? But the truth with Jesus, with the new kingdom, with this new king, is good news. Because remember what Jesus said, verses 21. Blessed are you who are poor. Have you discovered you're really poor? Have you discovered that riches won't make you happy, won't pay off at the end of the day? Have you discovered that they won't last? Have you discovered that your only hope is in God, and that this life is only a preparation for eternal life? Have you discovered that you are blessed? You are blessed. There's no reason to mourn. There's no reason to be sorry. You are blessed. You've discovered the truth. You're now into the new kingdom. Yes, it feels upside down, and it will feel like that until Jesus comes or we go to his presence. We'll be going against the grain. We will be different to those around us in many things and many times, and it sometimes will be very hard. But you are in the right place. You're with the winners. You see, losers are winners in God's kingdom, the upside down kingdom. So forget about the conservative world, about this world of power, pleasure, success, or popularity. Remember, it's only temporary, it's never delivers, and you can never keep up with it. It's like a treadmill that will never slow down. When you go on a treadmill, it's fun the first few minutes, but once you get tired, you can push yourself to just so far. After a while, you want to slow down the machine and eventually stop. But what if you can't stop the machine? What if you can't? Eventually, you will fall off. You will have an accident. You will face reality. And life is like that. You can never keep up the good things. No, doesn't matter how well it's going for you today. I have to say, tomorrow may be different. It will not last. For life is, I sometimes think, like an endless escalator. There are periods in your life when you feel you're making progress. You can go faster than the escalator. You seem like you're moving up. But you can never keep up the pace permanently. You will get tired. The escalator will get faster. You will start to move down. That's life. That's the old kingdom. And that is what Jesus is getting rid of. That way of life takes us in the opposite direction. God takes us away from God. Jesus breaks into history to change things. He causes an earthquake, a clash of these two kingdoms, to bring us into his new upside down kingdom. So in the new kingdom, the values are different. Remember? You're blessed if you're poor, if you're hungry, if you weep, and if you are rejected. Now, we don't seek those things as Christians. We don't go, oh yes, I seek today. Fantastic. No, that would be masochistic. And God may give you some, for a period of time in your life, some wealth, some success, some popularity, some comfort. Fantastic. Be grateful. Be a good steward of that. But remember, it does not last, and something better is coming. But the truth is that we're all poor, remember? We're all hungry. We all weep. And we've all been separated from God by our own sin. Jesus comes to change that. And in the Christian walk, sometimes we will experience those things in a very real way. And we learn to prize those things as Christians. Yes. There will be times when I will experience need or illness or rejection or grief, where I will have to make sacrifices. But as Christians, we learn to prize those things. Why? Because there is a promise. We are blessed when we do that. And the blessing is in knowing Jesus and being a citizen of his kingdom. The blessing is having been forgiven by God and enjoying things for eternity, putting things into perspective, really using this life well as a preparation for the next life. So we're not driven or controlled by power, by pleasure, by success, or popularity. If they come, we thank God. We use them well. If they don't come, we learn to prize the difficult times. Remember, we are blessed in the upside-down kingdom. But the upside-down kingdom is an eternal kingdom, a permanent kingdom. The other kingdom has already been defeated and will go away one day. We'll stop seeing it with these eyes. There will be a new world, a new creation. It's very interesting that Jesus pronounces all these words after he has come down from the mountain. If you notice in verse 12, which wasn't read, just a bit above, it says that one day Jesus went to a mountainside to pray with the disciples. And then he comes down the mountain and he pronounces this discourse, this sermon. Now, small but very important detail is precisely this fact. Guess where in the time of Jesus revolutionaries would have gone to hide and plot? In the mountains of Galilee. So if anyone came with a gang, with a group of men down the mountains with a new message, something was going on. So a lot of people wouldn't have missed that signal. Jesus was announcing a revolution. But not like the revolutions they had seen before, or perhaps the revolution they expected. This was a kingdom upside down, remember? And he comes in and says that he starts healing people. That's a clear signal that the old kingdom, the conservative kingdom, is done. It's gone. The old party is over. This is the kingdom that God is bringing. So that is what we will enjoy in the new kingdom. Forgiveness, a relationship with God, and true riches and health and happiness in the eternal kingdom. So our challenge is to truly live as citizens of the upside down kingdom. We can't have one foot here, one foot there. If we're followers of Jesus, we have to follow in his kingdom. But don't forget, the old kingdom still very attractive. Very attractive. But we have no choice if we are followers of Jesus. Now, the wonderful thing is that we have an incredible power to live as members of this kingdom. We have Jesus himself. And Jesus is the greatest resource in this kingdom. Firstly, because with his own life, he showed us what it means to live like a citizen of this upside-down kingdom. His life is the perfect example, the absolute, complete embodiment of everything that the kingdom means. So you want to find out what it looks like being a citizen of the kingdom? Look at Jesus, read the gospel, devour those words, treasure those words, follow Jesus' example. But Jesus is not only an example. If Jesus were only an example, then a lot of these things would be a real burden for us. Oh, yes, I have to be generous. Oh, okay, I have to help in church. Oh, yes, I have to wear those T-shirts they're making now and be part of that program there. God, yes, oh, I have to do this. And I have to share my faith with my friends. And it's all a burden. But you see, Jesus is not simply an example. Jesus is the real power of this kingdom because he himself took our place. And he himself became poor so that we could be rich. He himself became hungry so that we could be satisfied. He himself wept so that we could be comforted. He himself was rejected so that we could be accepted by God and included in his kingdom. So, because we already have those riches and those blessings, then we can live as true radicals. People in the old world, in the old kingdom, can never be true radicals. Because after all, they're always after things for themselves. That's inevitable. But Christians can truly be radicals. Yes, you can be ridiculously generous as a Christian. And some people may say, oh, but you're putting yourself in financial risk by doing that. And you may say, so what? Yes. But if in this way I am really living the upside-down kingdom, I am serving the cause of the gospel, so what? I am rich in Jesus, and blessed are those who are poor. So what if? You can be incredibly brave sharing the gospel because you're not afraid that they will reject you. Yes. It will hurt if they reject me, but what if they reject me at the end of the day? I have been accepted by Jesus. I have been welcomed by God into his kingdom. I have his love. And my citizenship is secure in heaven. So, okay, what if I am rejected? Etc. Etc. So you see, only as a member of the kingdom, the upside-down kingdom, you can be a true revolutionary. A true revolutionary. Let me just finish with two questions that I leave for you to ponder. Are you content with whatever God brings your way? Remember Apostle Paul in Philippians when he says, oh, yes, there have been times when I've had plenty. There are times when I've had very little. There have been times when I've had a full stomach. Other times I've gone hungry. And in all those things, I've learned to be content. Because in Jesus, I can do all things. Are you content with whatever God brings in your life? As I said before, you may be experiencing some prosperity, some popularity, some success, some comfort. Fantastic. Use it for God. Be a good steward. Remember, it will not last forever, and something better is coming. Are you experiencing some grief, some need, some illness, some rejection? Learn to prize those things. And remember, it will not last forever, and something better is coming. And finally, who do you spend your time with? With people who will give you something back, will help you advance in your goals, or people that you can truly serve and love? Those are two very good tests of which way we are leaning. I pray that this church, my church, will be known as church, radical churches, revolutionary churches, churches of the upside down kingdom.